We are Stephen and Jill. Together, we've been buying and reselling land since the 90s.
Our data-centric approach leaves our buyers asking, how can you sell it so cheap?
Here on the Land Academy Show,
we answer that and more. Stephen Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from the Valley of the Sun.
Today, Jill and I try to answer the question, when is it okay to buy land from another investor?
Hold on a moment. Hold on a moment. Let's think about this for a second. We're sending out mailers to buy from directly from a seller. So you think that sometimes you want to buy it from another investor?
Abso-freaking-lutely.
Uh-huh. And we will explain.
When is it okay? Honestly, it doesn't happen often enough. And I've got multiple stories of multiple success stories when I purchased land from other people.
True.
Like really recently. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free. And don't forget to subscribe on the Land Academy YouTube channel and comment on the shows you like.
Matt wrote, I'm curious, do you ever turn down an okay deal if you've purchased several other properties in the area? I've had a deal that would have been $12,500 plus $1,000 property owner association transfers fees, $500 on the buy side, $500 on the sell side. I'm familiar with those. Title, et cetera, fees, and it would all sell for $28,000. So let's just think here. So we're at $13,500. Sell for $28,000.
Double your money. Buy for $14,000, sell for $28,000.
I'm good with that. However, my concern was this. The property is very close to two other properties that I have on the market for $30,000. The concern was competing against my other two properties. That's not too many. 30 or 50 or 100, you leak them out.
Three properties in one area, I would argue, might even be better than one from the same seller. Might be better than just having one property. It's like, when you have three bars in a little local downtown area, now it becomes a hotspot.
They feed off each other.
Versus one bar, which is probably just a dump, which I prefer, but that's a different show. So the question is, whenever I ask myself questions like this, here's my first answer. Let's look at the data and let that decide, not me. Right. So if you got these two properties that are for sale in this HOA community, and you've got them posted on, if you did everything right, you've got it posted in all the right places. Look at how many views and hits you're getting.
Right.
You know, if you're getting 500, 600, 700 hits and calls,
you know
they're going to sell.
And then there's times I wish I had more. Usually this is usually the situation. You bought it right. You did great. You sell these two and you're like, darn, I wish I had another one. So I wouldn't worry about it. I think this is awesome.
I'm in that situation right now. If I had 10 properties with one transaction specifically, if I had 10 projects like that, we would probably be done.
It would be good. 10 is good. 100, you leak them out. Then it's a little nutty. If you have 100 in the same subdivision, I know some of you have come across those kind of transactions. That's still not bad if it's a good area, but you can't post them all at the same time. You got to leak them out. Thank you.
Bigger question is, should I be buying property in an HOA community?
That's the issue. Let's see how number one sells before I buy another one.
It's like, I really like this girl, but she just can't seem to hold a job.
No, not a good example. Not a good example.
Next topic, when is it okay to buy land from another investor? This is the meat of the show.
You're just grabbing at straws on that one. Like, what the heck?
It's a red flag. HOAs are a red flag.
That's the issue. Not dating. HOAs, no, because your buyer's pool is smaller and the requirements are larger. And that's a lot of money, $500 every time there's a transfer of ownership. We've had a couple $1,000 every time there's a transfer of ownership and not knowing it going into it. And we just had a deal we did last week, I think it was. You know, it was so funny. This is so cute. This person submitted a deal to me for deal funding last week, and I hadn't got to it yet. And she put it on our Thursday member call, and we both said, oh gosh, it was a very specific equestrian HOA with really strict rules and really high fees. And we all said, no, no, and no. So when I went back to my desk after our Thursday member call, that deal came up. I'm like, well, that's easy. I don't even have to look at this one. Now I know because we all talked about it as a group. it was just so, so specific. And then it was kind of cute because we all made jokes about, you know, that person who's walking around the HOA because they're wearing capris and a tennis visor.
With a clipboard.
I had a clipboard. I will never have tennis visor or capris.
You know, conceptually, when you really think about the personality type that buys into, God forbid, runs one, but buys into an HOA, like horses, especially equestrian. I remember this deal really specifically. Horses are like about freedom. Yeah. And the Wild West and all of that, you know,
we kind of live in an equestrian area.
Yeah, we do. And there's no HOA. And so, and everybody seems to clean up after themselves incredibly well. So the whole notion of all this control in a community, why does somebody innately want to control things? I have real concerns about that.
I always just thought it was kind of like money. I thought that, hey, I bought this whole big piece of land. I'm going to split it up and do these parcels. And I'm going to make sure I make even more money by creating an HOA or POA.
I mean, that's the only reason.
And all I got to do.
Wouldn't you somehow offer more freedom
than
less freedom to charge for?
I know. It should be, hey, here's the deal. By paying me this monthly fee. This is not about the show at all. We'll get to that in a minute. But paying me this monthly fee, I'm taking care of the roads. I'm making sure this pretty fence looks nice coming in and the park and these other things I'm going to provide to you and the boat launch, whatever it is. Like, you're getting something out of it. Not like less. Like, oh, crap. Now I want to paint my house. I got to go to this guy again.
So I honestly think that's how this all started. I think they kind of said, you know what? I'm going to go way out in the country. It's non-incorporated city land.
Right.
I'm going to buy a big property. I'm going to put roads in, make it improved. Mm-hmm. And we're going to charge $25 a month.
Exactly.
To maintain everything because it's all private roads. And it does. It needs to be in certain places. It needs the snow removal and just road maintenance.
It is a nice service. I would pay for that.
Like everything, it turned into something bad.
It turned into your garage door is open too long.
Or you can't have grass this close to the road.
Right.
And turn into that capri pants clipboard thing.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of this ties into the show. So there's a property that we own that we bought from another investor where it's not in an HOA or a POA situation. There are like six neighbors on the street and they on their own collectively share the cost of blading the road now and then because it's a dirt road and keeping it nice. And that, I think, is the way it should be.
That's the real spirit of an HOA.
Yeah.
And it's gotten diluted.
Exactly. So give me some other examples. Talk about buying from another investor.
So I have a great story. This through Actify, you know, one of the benefits of being a Land Academy. I'm a Land Academy member, too, by the way.
As am I.
People contact me through, it's all started through, would you do this deal on Discord? And, you know, this person, his name's Josh. Is sending me deals. It starts as a would you do this deal. It happens to be an area that I'm familiar, really, really, really familiar with. So I comment on him and I private message him and say, you know what? This happened about a year ago. I'll just pay a $10,000 at escrow. If you turn the deal over to me. You don't have to come up with any money. I'll just take it. I'll buy it for your purchase price. You can add $10,000 to the deal and I'll pay you out of escrow. Will this become a thing now?
Yeah.
So now I'm buying property from another investor. In fact, he's now sending mails out specifically because I said, if you send out mail in this area,
I'll buy him.
Keep doing it. And so he is. He just sent me two more deals that we signed off on from the same seller adjacent to each other. So, and these are really, really high margin deals. And he's happy. He knows that. But he's happy just to get a $10,000 check literally 2 weeks after, you know, less than 2 weeks.
Not when we sell it, even when we buy it.
2 weeks after he notifies me, he gets out of escrow, $10,000 check. So it's not hard to make a good living when you have somebody like Jill and I doing this kind of thing. So I think that there's all different ways that we can work together. That's what this show is really about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I only caution you to just, you know, not to get juked.
Yeah. It's really about the deal and the person. But first, it's about the deal. So you got to make sure you're not paying retail for something. Don't buy something on terms from somebody. That's one of the things that I think is, when should you buy something from somebody? You just explained a perfect example. When should you not buy something from somebody? Because I remember people talking about this a long time ago when we were just getting started. They were saying like, I'm going to buy it on seller financing, and then I'm going to mark it up a little bit and then take the triage, if you will, from what I resell it as. I'm like, oh, what a nightmare. I mean, do you really want to, you know, have to keep track of all that? And if your guy stops paying, you can't stop paying. You know, that's a reason, that's a time when not to buy a property from another investor.
Depending on where you're from in the country, that's called a land contract wrap. And what it accomplishes is this, not having to come up with any money.
Yeah.
And so, but we've solved that through deal funding and Land Academy itself. We're all constantly buying each other's property, or I shouldn't say buying each other's property, but we're investing in each other's property constantly. So that's what deal funding is. So landfunding.com is a company we started just for all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So exactly. I think it's great to work together with somebody until it's not, you know, sadly. And, you know, if you follow Land Academy, it's probably because you somewhat appreciate the fact that we're pretty honest and blatant about this stuff. I think many, many more partnerships end in tragedy than in happiness. Oh, and we are the exception.
That's true.
I said this on the last Thursday call. This is the only partnership I've ever had that has really worked long term with Joe.
Thank you.
And it's cheers probably not because of my attitude.
In spite of my attitude is what you should have said. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. I'm trying to give some other good examples of this. I mean, it's just not nuts. You know, you may know an area really well. Let's say on the flip side, you've got a bunch of properties. What if you're overwhelmed with some properties? Here's a good thing to think about too. I can end it on this for me. You do really well. You know an area so well, but maybe you don't have the sales manpower. You know, it might not be bad for you to mark up some properties a little bit and spin them off to another investor and just get some quick cash that way, just to, you know, keep the real good ones for yourself, or just whatever you can handle for yourself. You could do 10 a month, whatever it is, and you got 20 back, you know, are great. Hey, spin them off to other people. That's what deal funding is and Land Tank is and Discord. And that's why you have this community. We should all be working together a lot.
Every time Jill and I teach a class, whether it's the incentives class or career path, one of the first things I do is I ask everybody what they want. What do you want to get out of this?
Mm-hmm.
And I hear answers like, well, I want to make $1 million next month, which is kind of my attitude. So I incorrectly assume that's what everybody wants. But very often people will say, you know, I'm in a great spot in my life right now. I'm sort of retired. I would love to just make, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 or $6,000 a month to offset my mortgage. One person said that to me. It stuck with me a really long time ago, because we're all so geared toward making this our final career and all of that. And for Jill and I, it works. For many, many Land Academy members, it works too. But there's this silent, large group of people in Land Academy that just want to offset their mortgage or pay for college tuition or whatever.
Right.
And so whoever Josh is and why he's deciding to just do this debt $10,000 every, you know, it's multiple deals a month now. Mm-hmm. He's making a great living.
Right.
You know, I'm happy as heck too. These are properties that I, you know, I guess to finish that thought, you have to ask yourself what you want. Making $10,000 with somebody like me and Jill, that's not going to get you retired, but it will offset a ton of stuff. Mm-hmm. It can, or it can do both.
And pay for your mailers.
You got to ask yourself what you want. Yeah.
Exactly.
These are long-term properties for us.
Mm-hmm.
We have multiple lines of land acquisitions and sales now. You know, Jill constantly keeps food on the table with buying and reselling for cash properties at wholesale prices.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I've got this long view of, you know, making $1 million to $2 million a year, but it takes 12 to 24 months to sell the property because we're retailing them.
Uh-huh. Well, hold on, everyone, because this is how Land Academy started. By the way, what we're talking about right now, we were buying and selling wholesale to other investors who kept saying, wait a minute, Jack and Jill, I'm buying this land from you. I'm marking it up. So investor to buying from me, an investor, right? I'm marking it up. I'm making money. How the heck are you buying it so cheap? And that's how Land Academy was born. Like, all right, I can show you. I can tell you. I can help you. There's enough land to go around.
It depends on who you want to be. If you want to be the retailer at the end, which in the description that I explained, in some cases, that's what I want to be. In Jill's case, not so much. She wants to be the wholesaler, the more traditional Land Academy model. So you got to ask yourself what you want. But I do, it's a huge benefit that we don't talk about a lot, doing deals with other members.
If you need access to any sort of ownership or property details, including owner phone numbers and FEMA flood map overlays, please check out parcelfact.com or neighborscoop.com, created by investors, that's us, for investors like you. Happy you could join us today. 5 days a week, you can find us right here on the Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on the Land Academy Show is called Confidence in Your Success and Failure. You are not alone in your real estate ambition. It seems ironic to say have confidence in your failure, but I think,
do you know,
it's so important to fail.
It really is. I mean, I was watching the PBS documentary on Elon Musk, and he really has a real good, healthy attitude about failing. He's like, this is awesome. He really does celebrate failures because he knows we're 80% there, or we were 50% mm-hmm. there, or 60% there. And then the next one's going to get us even closer.
It's a necessary part of succeeding. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it.
I agree. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you find our content valuable, and we really appreciate your support. If you haven't already, please check out our YouTube channel and hit the subscribe button. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.